hell is this? It sounds like, is this my theme? Yes, this is my theme song from Eraser. It's when I walk out with Vanessa Williams and I throw over my back and say, get in the trunk, bitch. I'm going to fucking do something with you, like say John Connor, and I'm going to take it to the man that cloned me. Yes, in the sixth day. And it's not me with the clone, but it's you with the clone. And then I'm going to go to Batman, and I'm going to say, what killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age. Yes, this is that song. I know it. You know what else? You also know. I know. Who is your daddy? And what does he do? Just like he did in Kindergarten Cop. And I did that stuff, and now Dolph Lundgren's gonna be the Kindergarten Cop. What the fuck? What am I still doing here? Am I getting paid for this? I'm losing my hair. Have you seen my last commercial?
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast. And this is Jay Muse, Snooch to the Nooch. Trust me, I'm a Jedi.com. Go there and do it.
Alfonso Berry, listen to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Matt. Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is your host, Mark, hanging out.
Matt the Electric Monkey.
Frank T. Biscuit.
The biscuit with the most biscuits.
And brought some biscuits.
He brought biscuits. You're not the man who brought... was late to work. You're the man who brought breakfast, like the Whataburger commercial said.
Well, technically it was lunch.
Yeah. So it's been a few weeks. We recorded 2016. Everybody kind of took a break. We did one show, and and I had promised a new volume of Rebel Radio Classics, but it didn't happen. It's coming. It'll be there.
Excuses.
So anything new? What's up? Nothing new? Same old.
Star Wars is still in theaters. They just announced that Blu-ray is going to be released in 2 months, so that's cool.
We already kind of knew that, but thanks for chiming in.
Yeah, I'm just, chiming.
We did get Wait. This is somebody who brings up Blu-ray, but yet jumps this gun and gets everything on digital, like, a month early.
It's digital HDX.
I know. When you buy the copy, the hard copy, you get a digital copy, you can still get...
And as Mark always says, and a cool case.
Yeah.
I'll probably still buy the case.
You're a douche.
So I have two digital copies, our copy of the Blu-ray, the regular.
We're going to do a music episode today. We're going to talk music and film, favorite soundtrack songs, things like that. But before we get to that, there's a few things to talk about that have happened since we got together last. Suicide Squad trailer hit.
Oh, yeah.
And pretty rave reviews on it. People... that were kind of not sure about the film seem excited about it now. And when I first saw the trailer, I was like, oh, this looks really cool. I've kind of backtracked a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Before I say why, though, what were your thoughts on the Suicide Squad trailer?
I liked it a lot. I liked the music. I liked Harley Quinn in the trailer. And I liked the little spot that Jared Leto had as the Joker in the trailer. He's like, wait till I show you my toys.
Those Leto and Quinn were the bright spots, Margot Robbie, and I think she's going to end up stealing the movie. Your initial thoughts, Frank?
Well, like in any movie, you can throw all the best scenes in the entire movie into a 2-minute commercial or trailer or whatever, and then when you actually sit down and watch the movie, you're kind of like, storyline was okay. I really enjoyed looking at the croc. I thought they did a pretty decent job.
Well, see, it's funny. The 2 points y'all hit on are the points I had problems with. At first, I really liked the trailer. Then I went back and watched it. I have problems with Killer Croc being a human character in an outfit. I just think that you've got to do CGI if you're going to do Croc. He should be big, menacing, scary. I don't like... It's just like going back to the Thing in the Fantastic Four, the 2000 movies, where it's Michael Chiklis in the costume. I'm just like...
No.
I have issues with that.
No, but what I'm saying is... compared to what I thought it was going to be. It still looks a lot better.
And then my other problem is the music. I started realizing how close this is to the Guardians of the Galaxy trailers.
Oh, okay.
And it's like DC's trying to sell this as their Guardians of the Galaxy. Bad guys going good. You know, Guardians were kind of outlaws going good. And And I'm really excited about the DC film universe. Anyone knows me knows I'm a huge Batman fan. And I'm really excited about this universe. And I want it to work. I'm so looking forward to Green Lantern and Flash and all these films that are coming out. But where is Suicide Squad going to fit into the scheme of things? Why is it so early in their cinematic saga? You know, because it's officially kicked off with Man of Steel. And then we've got Batman, Superman, Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman, then Justice League. It's like, bam, only four movies in, we're getting to the big guys. And I just wonder, you know, where Suicide Squad fits in. I backtracked a little bit on my excitement for it, just realizing how much it feels like Guardians of the Galaxy, only with DC characters. And I think Margot Robbie's going to steal the show as Harley Quinn.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I tweeted out a funny comment saying, all I'm going to realize is I saw Harley Quinn naked once when I watched Wolf of Wall Street. You know? I mean, you know, hey, she's hot. And I hope it's really good. I'm not a huge fan of director David Ayer. I guess that's how you say his last name. Everyone raved on Fury. I thought Fury was boring. You know, I saw part of that Schwarzenegger film he did, Sabotage. Again, I wasn't a huge fan of it. I tried to watch it on Netflix. And so, will this guy pull off, you know, a comic book film? And how dark is it going to be? You know, Joker seems really psychotic and really... really
Joker
over the
is
top.
Psychotic. Yeah, but,
I mean, I'm just means this
probably
version.
One of the most psychotic characters in the DC universe.
You know, well, this version, I mean, initially is just he's so.
Well, I want a dark psychotic Joker. I don't want this like you know.
Well, you know, maybe you don't want to see the Joker done in the Keaton film again. You know, that was cool for that moment in time.
That's one thing. And maybe it's part of me is Heath. In his performance in the Dark Knight film, is he found a happy medium. He was borderline psychotic, borderline chaotic, but not so dark that it was too much.
And it was a sinister kind of joke.
Right.
Sinister
right.
joking.
And it seems like Leto is taking it over to that next
level.
Like
totally lost his mind.
And maybe we're wrong. Maybe when we see it on film, it'll be a little different, you know?
Yeah, because all we're seeing is like clippets of the film, not the whole thing put together.
Speaking about Joker, did you see that Mark Hamill actually, I don't know how old this was or how new, but he recreated in animation from the Batman animated films that kind of, it was a scene with the Penguin and Two-Face standing all around him. He recreated that famous, why so serious, you know, spiel with all the original animated bad guys around him, just, you know, voice and animation.
Leave it to the Electric Monkey for something random.
It was pretty cool. we're talking Joker. That popped in my head.
And along with that, on the we saw this trailer on the DC Films special that aired after the mid-season premiere of The Flash last week. And we also got our first bit of Wonder Woman footage in that. And it was only about 20 seconds, but it looked cool. You know, it looks like they're going with the World War II piece, telling her origins and everything. And again, DC's taking some flack on this, saying it's too much like Captain America, but I think that's the right way to do Wonder Woman. Because people are wondering, why does she show up in Batman vs. Superman? And I think you need to go back and tell where she came from. I think that's a proper origin. Because Wonder Woman, as popular as she is, people aren't as familiar with her origins as they are Batman and Superman or Spider-Man or other characters. So I think it's smart for DC to go back and tell where she came from in all this. And it was quick footage, but I thought it looked cool. You know, I'm kind of... not a huge Wonder Woman fan, but I'm kind of excited for the film now after seeing a little footage.
Oh, maybe after this movie there will be a lot more fans. I definitely at the cons.
Yeah, definitely at the cons.
You know.
Yeah, probably so for sure.
Bye, Leia outfit. The Wonder Woman outfit will be the new thing.
But overall, though, I'm super excited for the DC film universe to come. And I guess they're officially going to call it DC Films, where Marvel has Marvel Studios.
Oh, that's
that
good.
Seems like the official name now. And, we'll get more, I imagine, with Batman and Superman coming out here in a couple of months, and we'll be hearing much more about this universe.
Speaking about that, the new trailer, or however you know it is to you, that scene where he's just bearing down on Superman, Batman with the Batmobile, and to run into him, slides into him, and it just bounces off of him. That's like my favorite scene. I like watch that over and over and over again.
The marketing campaign with little short minute scenes. They're really cool.
I love that scene. I just kept rewinding and watching the Batmobile bounce off of Superman. I thought it was hilarious. And Superman was like, huh?
So that's kind of what's been going on. It's been a little slow in January. It always is this time of the year. So that's why we thought we'd do a fun special episode today as we talk music and movies. And as we go forward on this, music is an important part in film. And something that has gone back to the beginning of film. The first early silent films were nothing but they had a little music in the background. They just had no talking.
Basically, things like that. No, not even talking, just
music,
subtitles, and an album playing, record playing.
Something we don't talk a lot about on this show is because we are mostly movies and stuff, is music. And I'm a huge music fan, and I know you guys are too. We all grew up. It's hard not to be a music fan in general. When I hear someone say, oh, I'm not really into music, I always find that a little strange. Because to me, music is something that you should be able to escape with, just like movies, and escape from and be emotional with. Mm-hmm. And film brings that out in you sometimes. You'll watch a movie or hear a song that you remember when you saw that movie or what movie it's from or a certain musical score that you were excited about. And so we're going to talk about music and film today, and we're going to do a little game later on where I play some snippets from songs from soundtracks and have you guys try to guess if you know what movie and who the artist was, and it's not going to be easy, I tell you that.
No.
And we might have to make fun of the loser on the air here.
He's probably like played songs like only from like indie movies that he only like has on DVD.
No, he's like, no. It's like from the only Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. It's like, I never saw that movie.
Yeah, right. Like,
so there's two different ways that music in movies can be used. Most movies have both. They'll have a score done by a composer and an orchestra and all that, and then they'll have some soundtrack songs too that'll be done by artists. And then there's some movies that are just musical scores. Obviously, you're not going to have a soundtrack with artists in, say, Braveheart.
You know, that'd
be
Star Wars.
Yeah, that'd be a little weird to have, you know, Garth Brooks singing a song a period piece or something.
Or 50 Cent breaking it down for Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah. He might do it for one of your movies, Breaking 3, the Frank Boogaloo.
Yes. You know?
And so what are some things when you listen music in the movies, what are some of your favorite things you think instantly, like a soundtrack or a musical score that you instantly remind that are your favorites of all time?
I know. I mentioned we were talking one time, and when I hear Bad to the Bone, I think of Arnold Schwarzenegger stepping out of that bar after he took that man's clothes, and he goes and he gets to the motorcycle, and he ends up taking that bar owner's glasses. He's like, sorry, man, I can't have you walk off with a man's ride. And he just grabs a shotgun from him, takes his glasses.
When you get out of the shower at night and you walk out of the bathroom, do you play that in your head, walking in there to your wife, yeah, look at me.
For a second, and then she just checks me, puts me in check, and I'm like, darn it.
So immediately, off your head, Frank, what's like the one song that you think, man, I love that movie when I hear this song?
Oh, dang, I'm so ready. I don't know, I have to go to old school, like Eastbound and Down.
Eastbound and Down.
So from, you know, come on, you know it, Mark.
It's got to be Breaking.
Nope.
I don't know.
Matt?
I was going to say Breaking.
Nope.
It's always Breaking with Frank.
Yeah, dude. It's always, is it Gene? Is it Billy Jean?
Nope.
Oh.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Come on,
man.
Man. Burt Reynolds?
Fast Cars. 18-wheelers. Come on, man.
That's one good I did old not days. Expect. I
the
did
Fire
not.
Chicken? The Pontiac?
Good old country song, man.
It's funny. For me, it's more modern. Every time I hear Big Empty from the Stone Temple Pilots, I think The Crow. It's just like, that's the one song that it sticks right away. Oh, it's from The Crow. Which is one of the great soundtracks of all time, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But and musical scores, if it's not a song, like, I'll go first on this one. For me, it's like, Star Wars is the obvious answer. Mm-hmm. But Last of the Mohicans, sometimes you'll hear the score on, like, elevator music radio or at our work or something, and that's a soundtrack, that's a score that I automatically know it's from The Last of the Mohicans. And that's just a random movie for me.
For me,
besides Star Wars,
Lord of the Rings, man. I mean, most of those songs are pretty recognizable. I mean, you have a trilogy, they replayed those songs over and over and over.
I think so. I think it's still getting to that timeless feel because the trilogy's still pretty new. But yeah, it'll get there in time.
Nothing.
Nothing outside of Star Wars. He's like, I had Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Harry Potter. What about Harry
Superman?
Potter?
No.
Superman?
Superman's another one. Yeah. John. And you could do a show on just John Williams if you were doing a music show.
John Williams.
Guy's done Jaws, Star Wars, Close Encounters,
Harry Potter,
Indiana Jones. I mean, the guy has done Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
so basically, you're saying his library is pretty full of
movie scores. Some Disney films too. He's done.
I have to admit, like my two favorite when it comes just to scores is the Vader's Imperial March for Star Wars and the Superman.
Yeah. The Superman theme is definitely
okay. The opening sound for Star Wars. I'm sorry. Credits roll. That music pops. My heart gets racing, and I don't care how many times I've seen the damn movie.
And I really love the. I just had it in my mind, and I lost it.
Is it the Crow again?
No, it wasn't the Crow.
Braveheart
has a great score.
Yeah.
Gladiator had a great score.
Gladiator
had an excellent musical score. Which was, I think, done by James Horner, I believe, just recently died last year. And so songs are really important. Musical scores are a little bit harder. It's hard. Sometimes people have their favorites and things like that. But songs can be used in movies and make you remember things. We just talked about some of our favorites, and there's so many great soundtracks or great music songs over the year. I always think back, like, to Highlander, Princes of the Universe of Queen. That's one of my favorites.
Love that one.
Everyone... You may be sick of it now, but you hear Everything I Do It For You by Bryan Adams, you automatically remember Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, rest in peace, Alan Rickman from Robin Hood, who we just recently lost. That was a big one. And those are a couple of songs that you just instantly remember that movie and where it's from. You're like, oh, this is from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. And, you know, and those are a couple of my personal favorites. And I also had another favorite that I had written down here. Everyone knows me, knows I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan. And the movie Singles, which isn't really a movie we would ever talk about on Rebel Radio. It's about single people in Seattle, and it was done in the 90s during the whole musical grunge boom. And the soundtrack, though, was so good. I mean, it had all these Seattle artists on it. And I was a Pearl Jam fan at the time. I had heard 10, and I liked it. But they put two songs on that soundtrack, Breath and State of Love and Trust, that elevated my Pearl Jam level. I heard those two songs, and from there... History is what it is
State
what they say.
Trust.
I will never that. Those are the two songs that a lot of people don't know that about me. That totally turned me to Pearl Jam completely. Those two songs are still two of my favorite songs they've ever done.
For me, Pearl Jam, it has to be Yellow Ledbetter.
Well, that's not from a soundtrack.
I know it's not from a soundtrack, but it's just Pearl Jam. It's like, I mean, you name a song, it's magical.
Matt, stare back into the lane.
I thought you were about to do Bird.
No.
Some of your favorite soundtrack songs.
You just brought up, of course, Everything I Do For You.
Frank sings that in the shower.
Yeah.
I was going to paint him for I Will Always Love You.
I mean, I don't want to go too far off track because we'll be talking about some of these other songs later. One of my favorite, and it's... Been playing on the radio at work lately, and it's from the Breakin' Movies. There's No Stopping Us. I just want to get down, throw some cardboard from work down on the ground, and like
don't hurt yourself.
Start
spinning around.
Yeah, nah, like Mark said, I just hurt myself. Y'all were cracking at me the other day because I was silent, and they're like, "Oh boy, he probably hurt himself." And I'm like, "I did the worm, and I can't get up.
My back doesn't wave that way anymore.
Too much fat. It was more like the slug.
And we all know Frank's other true shower song. And I already know one of his... This is how well
I swear, Frank. If you say that Titanic, I hate that song.
Frank gets out of the shower dancing to Eye of the Tiger. You know, I mean, from the Rocky movies, of course. Well, Rocky 3 specifically.
No. I just bust out the whole entire theme from the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
And we haven't even gotten to movie theme songs yet. That'll be a whole other thing with Rocky and stuff. We haven't even gotten there. That's it? Just the Breakin' song, Frank, for your favorite songs that immediately from the soundtrack were your favorite songs?
Man, there's so many. It's
Danger
like,
Zone, Top Gun.
Yeah. It's hard for me to listen to that and be behind the wheel because I literally just like get angry at people that are driving slow.
You feel the need for speed?
Total need for speed.
The need for speed.
You know, need for speed. Like, I just want to put that on my headphones and pop in like a racing game and I just like, just like go, you know. Matt, anything slow is just like
a couple of your absolute favorite soundtrack songs and stuff.
I know I'm gonna. I don't want to keep saying Terminator 2.
It's everything Terminator.
Because I love like a lot of songs on Terminator 2, but some that I like, Breakfast Club, The Boombox, Don't You Forget About Me. Yeah. That was classic.
I hate that movie, but okay.
I know.
Well,
you know, Kiss from a Rose.
Yes, I love that one.
That's a good one.
Yes, man. I bought that tape just for that song.
Power of Love. Back to the Future.
I know.
I'm sorry. I'm going to throw y'all all off. I actually like the theme song from St. Elmo's Fire.
St. Elmo's Fire.
Well, that's a theme score.
Well, it's a song. No, it's an actual song. St. Elmo's Fire. It's got lyrics and everything that I like, you know?
And what's funny is, of course, Guns N' Roses had Terminator 2. It's funny, You Could Be Mine wasn't actually written for Terminator. It was written for the User Illusion albums, which kept getting delayed, and you're way too young to remember this, Matt. Yeah. Me and Frank remember everyone was highly anticipating the follow-up to Appetite for Destruction, and they kept delaying User Illusion 1 and 2 over and over again. It was supposed to be 1990, then 91, then...
Oh my god!
I think it finally came out in
93. And then they say two albums, and we're like, yeah, what?
It finally came out in 93 or whatever, and... But the studio was like, look, you got to put something out there. James Cameron's got this movie. Would you contribute a song to it? And they put You Could Be Mine in Terminator 2 because almost a year before the freaking albums finally came out. You Could Be Mine was on the radio forever. Mm-hmm. I think they ended up releasing like two or three singles from those albums before the albums ever hit.
Yeah.
Because it took forever for the User Illusion records to finally hit. And then when they hit big. They were two of the biggest albums of all time when they came out. And so they threw the You Could Be Mine onto the Terminator soundtrack just to get something out there. And I just remember it being in high school, seeing the video over and over again with Arnold walking through the concert. You know, he targets Axel and Slash and everybody. Yeah. And it was really cool, you know. You're just like, as a fan, you're like, okay, but I just want to hear the rest of the album. You know?
Right. Hey, but segueing in, because there's a song on those Use Your Illusion albums that is also done by the original artist, which is in a movie soundtrack, which they paid a lot of money, so they way overused the song in this movie, which was Live or Let Die James Bond. I swear, they overused that song so much in that movie. It was like literally every time you turn around, that music would kick. If there was a scene in which Bond was taking a dump, that music would kick into play.
Let's rephrase though. They didn't pay to use the song. They paid Paul McCartney a lot of money to write a song for
I'm saying. They paid so much for it. It was just like nonstop pounding that music. It's funny because that song, it was annoying. I can't watch that James Bond movie.
As a James Bond fan, you know, it's okay when you see a moment. And this will help us segue into themes of characters. Mm-hmm. Is when you see a James Bond action scene and the James Bond theme kicks in, you know, you're excited. But that's the one Bond film where instead of the Bond theme, they keep using Live and Let Die over and over again. You're just like, and I'm with Frank, I'm just like, okay, really? You know?
Yeah.
It's one thing if Bond is jumping on a train and the you know, Bond theme starts playing, you're like, oh, this is cool, you know, you get excited.
He likes a cigarette and the music will kick in. It's
just like
really?
In Mission Impossible. That's another very famous theme song now.
Oh, yeah.
Even with the Tom Cruise films, when it kicks in, you know, it's like,
you know what it belongs to.
Does it give you that adrenaline rush? It's like, when I see those films, it's like, Star Wars is a whole different thing. There's certain music that goes with themes. But it's just like when Ethan Hunt is going after the bad guy and that Mission Impossible theme kicks in, you're just like, oh, yeah, it's on, you know?
Yeah.
And those are two big ones. I know we talk Rocky. Rocky, the Rocky theme song. When that Rocky theme song starts playing, it's just like, you know, here we go. Rocky's going to kick some butt in the ring.
Or at least
hit some
meat.
Yeah, hit some meat.
Which one? The Survivor from number 3?
Or? No, the original.
No, the actual theme music for Rocky. Yeah, you know. Yes, I just did that. not songs. I'm talking the actual theme songs. You know, like there's certain
characters. I'm not
going to
lie. There's this movie custom made on YouTube with all the Rocky workout scenes, mostly the ones from Rocky IV. And there's one time where I'm like, I need some motivation. So I played it while I did some dumbbells.
Rocky,
I'm like, dude, I want to work out.
Yeah, the Rocky music, Eye of the Tiger, those are like...
Well, Rocky IV is almost an entire training movie itself.
Heck yeah.
You know, it's like, it's ridiculous. Like, Apollo dies, let's train for 45 minutes, let's fight the Russian.
Yeah. Let's get some wood and some snow and see how much we can work
out. And that's it. Rocky is turning 40 this year. And we are going to do... It's not till December, because that movie came out in December of 1976. So we will be doing a Rocky show later this year.
Rocky and a Star Wars show, probably back-to-back.
Well, with Rogue One coming out. But we will definitely be doing a Rocky show later this year. I know Rocky is not a huge thing in our genre of sci-fi and action and stuff, but I think Rocky's important enough that we're going to do at least one show on Rocky.
It's an underdog later this story.
Yes. Yeah.
And some of my favorite movies. I love the Rocky series. What are other... it's not from a film, but when you hear the Batman television series or the Star Trek television series, you instantly know where they're from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, those are a couple of other important theme songs. Am I leaving any out? I mean, I know Rocky, James Bond, and Mission Impossible are three really big ones. You know,
Terminator does have a theme. I mean, da-dum, dum, da-dum.
Yeah, well, just similar like the Tim Burton Batman films. Batman had a theme in those, too. You know, you always have... well, even in the Nolan films, Batman had a central theme. Mm-hmm. When his music played, that Batman was coming. Which
it's called Moluscus,
which is my ringtone right now is the Batman song from the Nolan trilogy on my phone. You know, those are some off the top of my head that I can think of famous theme music songs. You know, am I leaving any out?
We got our list still to go through of like our songs, so we'll probably remember.
Well, let's do that. Well, you have a list, Frank. Let's see your list. I just kind of did this off the top of my tongue, so to speak. I didn't make a list, but that's okay.
Well, I have a list. What are some songs? It's not like a full list. We probably named off the ones that are on my list.
I did a top five.
That's the crazy thing. I had six, but, you know, I like was having a brain fart. Totally the song from Flash, Queen.
Yeah.
I love that song. Yeah. I mean, to me, if they ever did another Flash movie, somebody has to remake that or use that one, because without that song, it just doesn't feel like a Flash movie.
The script is in they're writing, it's in the script stage. It's coming.
Well, you know, like I said, we've already named a lot. I had the, for Karate Kid 2, Glory of Love by Peter...
That is one I always do think of the movie when I hear it.
I was going to say, Sintra, you're the best.
You know, that's another one. But I'm talking about, like, the ones on my list are ones that I really, really like, but also got radio play.
Well, it's funny, the 1980s were very big for... that's when soundtracks took off.
Oh, my gosh, weren't they?
A little bit into the early 90s. Like I said, The Crow's one of the biggest selling soundtracks of all time. 88
through 91.
Excuse me. But then the soundtracks have slowly started dying off over the years. Now it might be like one song for the movie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, from the 80s were full of just soundtracks with all these artists on it.
Outside of Guardians of the Galaxy...
I mean, and even that was just old one-hit wonder songs they put on it. It was nothing.
Yeah, like songs that had already been out.
Yeah.
I remember like a friend of mine, Oscar, back when we were in high school, like freshman year and stuff, him and I hang out, we go driving all over the place, and it's like literally all the music we listened to were like songs from movies, at the time.
What else did you have on your list there, Frank?
I had Footloose, by Kenny Loggins, I love that song. It makes me want to just get up and dance.
No more dancing.
I'm going to get my foot loose.
Get your foot loose on.
And what about you, Matt? What are some of the ones you had?
I had Times They Are A-Changin', The Watchmen. I like that scene right before... was it right before or right after The Comedian? Forevermore?
But even that, you're stretching our goals here. That wasn't written for the movie.
Well, it wasn't written for the movie.
It was
used for the movie. And like kind of like another one I have on there is Unchained Melody. I know that wasn't written for the movie, but when you hear Unchained Melody, you think of Patrick Swayze just cradling Demi Moore.
No, I do. Really.
Molding the...
Now,
for Bodie, man. You know,
Bodie. When I think of Patrick Swayze, there's only one dance song I think of, and, you know...
Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, exactly.
Dirty Dancing.
Mark?
There are songs, right? You're right, though, that you... aren't necessarily written for a movie, but you think of that movie right away.
Right.
Obviously, now everyone hears Blue Suede doing that song. I can't think of the name of it, but they think of Guardians of the Galaxy now. And there are several like that are out there. I think of In the Air Tonight from Miami Vice. You automatically, you don't think that, because Phil Collins had already written that song. Well, I think he had. I have to go look that up.
In the Air Tonight, I think of Risky Business with Tom Cruise when he's on the train doing it with the hooker.
Yeah. Well, I personally like the Nonpoint remake better.
The Nonpoint is really nice.
Frank?
Yeah, we've already touched on most of mine, like the from Prince of Thieves, Everything I Do, you know, was one of my favorites at the time, and Danger Zone from Top Gun, Eye of the Tiger, you know.
What about Ghostbusters?
Definitely. Who are you going to call? You know,
Ray Parker.
Exactly. Who are you going to sue?
And
Ray Parker for apparently stealing the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I did see that, right?
Yeah,
whatever came of that.
I don't know. Because we'll have to Google that nowadays. But yeah.
I have the number one, though, made for a movie.
What?
Simon and Garfunkel, Mrs. Robinson. The Graduate. Here's to you, Mrs. Robinson.
Man, it's going back there.
Hey, come on, man. It's about a cougar.
Man knows all about cougars.
But, you know, it's amazing how, though, we associate music with film and things like that. And sometimes music can be very emotional in movies. It can pull the sound of it in the background or in a sad scene or something going on can, you know, bring tears to your eyes or whatever. And it's an important part of film. And could you imagine watching a movie without music?
Dude, I mean,
have been movies, but very few.
But what, real quick, what do you think is the absolute biggest, most popular song for a movie of all time?
Bodyguard, I Will Always Love You.
Close. Mark?
I mean, I would have said that too, because I know it was a huge hit.
There's one more that probably got more saturated radio play than that one.
Was it Titanic? Was there something for
it
Titanic?
It was a Titanic song.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, My Heart Will Go On.
Yes.
Celine Dion.
Oh, yes. My gosh. Literally, they would play a song, play that song, play another song, play that song, to the point I just had to turn off the damn radio. I would turn over to a rock and roll station,
yeah.
A grunge station, an alternative station, and for some reason that damn song would be on. I'm like, really? This doesn't even fit.
Obviously, for you, I'm guessing Terminator 2 is your absolute favorite soundtrack of all time. Do you have an absolute favorite soundtrack, Frank? I mean,
Star Wars.
For me, it's The Crow. Being in high school when The Crow came out, I think I played that soundtrack so much until I wore out the cassette that I finally got it on CD.
Cassette.
Cassette. I love The Crow soundtrack.
At least you didn't say 8-track.
The fact that James O'Barr and Alex, the guy who directed the film, Alex Proyas, they went out and seek these artists to provide songs for the film. They handpicked them, Nine Inch Nails, Rage Against the Machine, mm-hmm. some Temple Pilots, all these guys, and they wanted the soundtrack to go with the Crow and what it was about, and it's still one of my favorite soundtracks of all time. And, so that's probably my favorite. But and my favorite music scores we already talked about. I love, obviously, Star Wars. Braveheart's one of my favorite sound scores of all time. The Last Mohicans. I'm kind of a sucker for music scores that were like period pieces, you know,
yeah.
and I like things like that. You know, I Braveheart has an amazingly musical score.
Another Gibson film is Patriot. I like the Patriot score. Well, John Williams did that.
Can I be honest with you? Even though I'm not into modern day hip hop, I like the soundtracks from a lot of the original hip hop movies, like, you know, Breaking One and Two,
Malibu's Most Wanted.
No,
what?
You know, he's just totally through. You know, just like all those movies back in that era that like first introduced hip hop on the big screen,
mm-hmm.
and then,
you know, whether it be through breakdancing or just street art and all that. I mean, there's so many good movies.
I find now, though, some of these newer composers. I watched Sicario last night, and you've noticed it in the trailers too. They're using these horn sounds where it's like, mm-hmm. and these trailers, and like the soundtrack for Sicario was all that. It was just horns. It wasn't terrible, but that seems to be a current trend now. How many horns can we put into a soundtrack and just have this blazing in the background, you know? And it kind of started with The Dark Knight when Hans Zimmer did the horn sound for the Joker. The Joker's theme is just a single organ horn or something going on in The Dark Knight. And ever since then, Nolan started, it seems like his Inception trailer had the horns in it. Mm-hmm. Now you see all these trailers are just like these blazing horns, and it's turning over to these soundtracks.
Nolanized.
And I'd like to see it's good to see John Williams is still doing, and Zimmer and things, guys like that are still doing the orchestral thing without just sitting behind a synthesizer and using horns and stuff. And, and Sicario wasn't a terrible movie. It was a little slow. You know, I would expect a little more action. Yeah, I mean, it was all right.
You mean action between Emily Hunt and
Benicio Del Toro is always good to watch. You know, he's just one of those actors that you can watch him read a book.
See, and be like, I haven't seen that movie, but from everything that people described to me about it up to this, it sounds like the TV show The Bridge that comes on.
It's not quite like that.
It takes place in El Paso. Takes about crime between El Paso and across the over in Mexico. And it just sounds like a movie version of The Bridge to me. Which The Bridge, a TV show, is actually a really good TV show.
But
back to soundtracks.
So, yeah. So, I mean, that's all I've really got off the top of my head. Anything else that we're leaving out before we get to playing this little game here in a minute?
I don't think so.
No. You know?
Let's play a game.
But
game
music,
time.
But yeah, music. Jigsaw would say. But music and film is very important. And I had a tweet from someone. They mentioned one of their favorites was the Ferris Bueller song.
Oh, and yeah. Was this?
I can't remember the guys who tweeted it to us. Because I had put on our Twitter, hey, what are some of your favorite music songs? No, not Twist and Shout, the Twix song from the Twix commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they mentioned, I don't even know anyone knows the name of that, you know, but that was like their favorite song. So music and movies is very important. You know, I'm sure I really like the theme in Man of Steel, and I'm sure we'll get some of those themes. We may get a new Batman theme when Batman vs. Superman comes out. You know, or Batman v Superman. I guess that's the cool way to say it now. Mm-hmm. I've noticed people have been saying that. It's no longer Batman. It's Batman v Superman.
Why don't you say BVS?
So, we're going to play a little game here next on the Rebel Radio Podcast. As Matt and Frank will try to guess what songs these are from, these movies. Yeah, that made sense, right?
Okay. No, what movies these songs are from?
Exactly.
Accelerate to attack speed.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rubber Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Hey, headbangers, this is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
Alrighty then.
All right, so next up on the Rebel Radio Podcast, we've been talking music and movies and soundtracks today. We're going to play a fun little game, and make sure you're following the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And please go to iTunes, subscribe, leave us a quick review because it helps out a lot. Also, we're on Stitcher. We're also on the Houston Nerdcast Collective, which is found at HoustonNerd.org. And you can also find us on the Tangent Bound PC Network. So you can find the show in plenty of places, and we hope you're listening, and we do thank you for all your support. So we're going to play a little game as Biscuit and the Electric Monkey are going to guess the songs that these soundtrack or that these came from. They you guys need to answer what the artist and the movie. Y'all got that?
Oh, wait, I could maybe get the movie, but not the artist.
Well, you got to try. You got to try, all right? So here's the first. Ready?
I have no idea. I know who it's from, or at least I think I know who it's from, but no idea of the movie.
Who do you think it's from?
It sounds like maybe Bon Jovi.
You got the artist right.
Oh, man.
Think about the sound of it. I'll play it one more time.
It's probably a Western. He knows I don't watch no damn Western.
But you've seen this Western.
Tombstone?
No.
Oh, Young Guns.
So 50-50.
So y'all both got 50-50, okay? Oh. These are hard. Young Guns 2.
Yes.
Bon Jovi, Blaze of Glory. Okay, y'all ready for the next one? Now y'all aren't going to get this one, but y'all can try.
When you hear twin fiddles and a steel guitar.
What the hell?
It's an old movie. I say y'all won't get it. It's a country movie.
Is it, did it take place in Houston?
Some of it.
Is it,
he's the number one selling country artist of all time.
Well, I know it's Garth Brooks.
No, it's not Garth Brooks.
What? Mickey Gilley?
No.
No, it's not Glenn Campbell.
No.
One
George more time. Strait? George Strait's the artist.
Okay, George Strait's the artist.
And he starred in the movie, too.
Oh, crap.
Hell if I know.
Oh, my God. What movie did he star in? You got me, man.
Pure Country.
Pure Country. I would have never got it.
Hey, I told you these are hard.
Damn Westerns and shit.
All right, let's go on to the next one. Y'all are going to get the artist this one again, not the movie. I already know. Well, Matt might get the movie on this one.
Battlefield Earth?
Oh, God.
Okay, because you know he's in that movie. There was a Korn soundtrack for that movie. That's the only
this
reason
game was
why.
Supposed to be.
It stars a hot chick. And it's based on a video game. That should narrow it down
Tank
pretty
girl.
Good. No.
Ah.
Well, shit, there's a lot of hot girls in the
based on a video game.
Resident Evil movies.
No. Yeah, I don't know a deal.
No.
It was written for the Tomb Raider.
Oh, man.
Nah.
And,
movie I've seen one time.
Okay, next. They did a song pretty much for the first three movies of that saga. That was a huge hint right there.
First three movies of a saga.
Oh, is it more than three movies?
Yes, but they, for some reason, didn't do a song for the last film. But they wrote a song for the first three for some reason.
So there's four of them. I think of
one. It is Linkin Park. Matt got the artist.
Well, and Linkin Park came out in 2000s. So that narrows that movie to between at least 2000, probably 2002 to 2009, somewhere in between there is where I would put that.
I'm trying to think of what had only four movies with everything doing more than four movies.
Well, Matt has a half a point because he got the artist, and he got a half point because he said Korn first. So Matt has 2 points so far. Oh, Frank has one. So
I can't think of anything that...
They did it for Transformers.
Yeah,
okay. Now this one...
I know that one. I'll see if Matt can get that one.
Get your point, Frank. Take your point. You're gonna let him have the point?
Yeah, because I wanted it because it's older. It's old one for him. So the fact that he got it, I'm proud of that.
All right, try this one. It took
away my Soul Squeeze, Chili Peppers.
What movie did they do it for? That's the hard one.
God, that's a rough one.
It's based on a Saturday Night Live sketch.
Oh. Okay, well, it can't be Night at the Roxbury.
No.
That's not it. It's got to be Corky Romano?
No.
Ladies Man.
No idea. No, Aykroyd was in it.
Oh!
There's a lot of stuff with Dan Aykroyd.
Coneheads.
Oh, God.
Really? Yeah.
Damn.
Now, I know you aren't going to get this one. You're already sucking this game.
Deftones.
No.
Well, the fact that he knows what movies I watch and Tommy watch and he picks a bunch of...
Why do you use what I had on my iTunes, man?
Nine Inch Nails.
It's... if you don't get the song, it's Burns from the Natural Born Killers movie.
What? Oh.
It is Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, okay.
A movie I think I've seen once.
Now, if Matt doesn't get this one, he's officially not a fan of the person he claims to be a fan of. It was on the soundtrack for one of your favorite actors' movies.
Sounds like Alice in Chains.
Frank got the artist.
Well, it's got to be
Last Action Hero.
It's from The Last Action Hero.
Yes!
So, yeah, both got a half a point. And I had a tie. I did nine in case there was a tiebreaker, but Matt's already pretty much kicked Frank's butt. But we'll do the last one. It's written for a Bond movie.
The world is not enough. Tomorrow Never Dies.
No, it's a Daniel Craig Bond film.
Oh, that's the first one. It's Casino Royale.
Yeah, it's written for Casino Royale. It's Chris Cornell.
Yes.
So, you guys, they're all right. They were hard, I admit. I threw it together. I'm not going to lie. I threw it together this morning.
I texted you about it yesterday.
And then we were at a birthday party yesterday. I used what I had on my iTunes. So, you know, hey, we did all right.
Hey,
so,
not
you know,
bad.
I mean, Matt knew most of the artists, and Frank got a couple of them.
If me and Frank were together... As one mind, we could have like.
We still would suck.
Yeah, we still probably would suck, but it still would have been like, not bad.
Not bad. But that was fun. Something different to do on the show, and for the listener. So it's pretty tough sometimes to guess though a song. I mean, the artists sometimes are easy because you can hear the singer's voice; you automatically know.
And they're still singing.
But that was kind of fun. On the, you know, I'm working on Volume 3 of the Rebel Radio Classics, and we used to do a lot of little games like that on there. Mm-hmm. We had Words of Wisdom with Biscuit, and, you know, and we had Electric Boogaloo segment back then. We tried to do that on the early Rebel Radio show.
Wait. I forgot about that. One time I had Wisdom.
Words of Wisdom.
I've actually been thinking about bringing that back in some form. I'm trying to think of a way to bring back Words of Wisdom with Frank.
It was just be Tyree, Dumbass Biscuit.
And we Square Off, that was another game we played, which never really went well.
No.
I think there's an edition of it coming up on one of the classics. So that was fun. And Frank lost. So what should we make Frank do on air?
Really, what can you do on air? That's like
we can make him sing. Well, that might scare people. Sing the chorus for Everything I Do It For You, right now on the spot.
But I want you to sound like...
Bryan Adams?
Bryan Adams.
Yeah, good. Take me as I am.
Okay, that's enough. Listeners are scared as way. So anyway, tweet us, send out information on Facebook. Tell us what some of your favorite music songs and soundtracks were. And don't go anywhere because we got a few more things to talk about. And then we're going to do something different. At the end of the show, normally I say bye, see you later. I'm going to drop a couple of songs at the end of this episode. Just, you know, maybe not whole songs, like some snippets of some soundtrack songs. So just for fun, you know, on the Rebel Radio podcast.
Swing, swing,
tentpole. She's a babe.
She's magically babelicious.
She tested very high on the strokeability scale.
This is Walker Simons. You're listening to the Rebel Radio podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men.
And this is Mike Zabcik from The Same, and you're listening to...
Rebel Radio. And you can find that on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
You're a Jedi?
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
So this has been kind of a fun, different episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast, talking music and movies, had fun playing that little game. You know, we just getting 2016 rolling. It's been a little slow start, you know, but things will come. It's going to be a big year. We've got Batman, Superman, we've got Deadpool in a few weeks, we've got Star Wars Rogue One later this year, Captain America Civil War, Doctor Strange.
Oh my gosh, so much stuff.
I'm Star Trek Beyond. We're going to do a couple of Star Trek shows this summer as we celebrate 50 years of Star Trek. So much. There's going to be kind of, this is one episode I haven't told y'all yet. I'm kind of planning some sort of Batman episode because it's the 60th anniversary of the Batman television show, or 50th anniversary. And that may be real soon, like in March, we might do a Batman episode leading into the Batman vs. Superman movie. I know we did a Batman episode, you and me, Matt, for the when Frank was out, for the anniversary of the original Tim Burton film, but we'll probably do a Batman episode. So it's going to be a good year. We're just getting started. It's late January. We've got a long way to go this year. And, we like doing lists. We're going to do some more list episodes for you this year. And this music idea was an idea that Frank brought to the table, and it was really a good idea. We've been trying to do it for a few months, and it was just finding that right time frame to fit it in, because sometimes there's so much news or movies coming out going in that you have to put these theme shows on the back burner a little bit to get to them. But it works when it's slow right now, there's nothing going on. I was like, hey, it's a good time to do the music show. And so, you know, we hope you enjoy listening. Make sure you're following us on iTunes and subscribe to us. Follow us on Twitter at TMIAJ, Facebook, Instagram, which I don't update enough, but we have it. It's all there. And, you know, and don't be afraid to sing in the shower, right, Frank? Ever.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
And follow us on Tinder, too, at We Are Good For You.
Really?
There's no Tinder.
There's no Tinder. No.
Really? No.
Unfortunately, really? You know.
We have an expanded...
set up an account.
Yeah.
I mean, why? Who are we trying to hook up?
You know, we're trying to hook up, you know, any
random,
you know,
random
person that
random
likes to use the dark side of the force.
Isn't Tinder like a dating site?
It is.
I don't know.
What? No, what?
Is it a porn site?
Nah,
it's not a porn site.
No, definitely. Nah. I've never seen any.
It's for cheaters.
Yeah, it's for cheaters.
So Matt has like four accounts.
Oh, really? And subscribe to us on YouTube also.
YouTube?
We're going to film some more YouTube videos here.
On the tube.
And we've got a new segment we hope to introduce soon. My wife has come up with an idea for a segment, which I can't tell y'all about yet because it's top secret, but it's coming real soon. Hopefully the next couple episodes we're going to introduce that segment on the show.
So basically she has a general idea of what she wants to do?
No, we know what it is, but it's cool. Top secret. I'm not even telling y'all.
Wait. It's top secret. So like when James Bond has a mission and he's like goes around telling everybody, I got a mission, but it's top secret.
It's like that. It's like, hopefully they're...
Is that the point of something that's top secret is not to even bring it up at all until it like happens?
Well, okay, semi-top secret. What, Frank, semi-top secret, what is that? Why was that funny? It sounded like you got semi-wood or something.
It's the Diet Coke of top secret.
So basically it sucks ass?
No, Diet Coke doesn't... Hey.
Nah, I hate Diet Coke. Give me muddy water.
Here at Rebel Radio, we do not franchise or disenfranchise Coca-Cola products.
No, totally. This is totally on Frank T. Biscuit of hating Diet Coke.
Yeah,
it is a sworn statement amongst all people who know me.
Coca-Cola,
that
don't sue us.
I will not
because we don't have any
Diet
money
Coke
anyway.
That's right.
It is Diet Coke with, like, horrible, nasty sweetener in it. Like, Coke. New Coke. It's like New Coke. It's like new Coke formula should have just been.
What are you
burnt.
Talking about? I don't even know.
They make Diet Coke out of it.
Biscuit. This isn't Biscuit. Words of
no. This is Frank.
Anyway,
Biscuit tyrant so, about how much he hates Diet Coke.
We enjoy. We hope you enjoy the music episode, and there's going to be some little snippets of the songs that we talked about here at the end of the show. So listen for those. And what do you, Mike? My son Mikey's over here. What do you have to say, Mikey?
I have to say that.
Talk louder.
I have to say that. I farted outside.
You farted. I don't know any way to end the show other than Michael farted. This has been
Matt the Electric Monkey.
Frank T. Biscuit, who has not yet farted.
This is your host, Mark, on the highway to the danger zone. Everything we do it for you. Thanks for listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
Hey, this is Marky Ramone, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
I'd like to thank the Academy.
Yeah.